Welcome back to episode 225 of the Tall Boy Radio Podcast. And as we always say, who knows where it goes when the beer flows? Well, I'll tell you where it's flowing to tonight. It's flowing to the other side. But before we do that, let's flow to the other side of my study and say hello, Gaz.
Evening all, evening the world. I hope you're all well. I hope you're all living the dream every day. I'm looking forward to this episode. It's something that we've done a couple of podcasts about in the past, and it's always fascinating when we do talk about this particular topic, and it's great that we have a new guest on to our podcast, and again, just gives a slightly different sort of slant on potentially a topic that we've looked at before, but as I say, a different perspective on things. So yeah, really, really, really looking forward to this. No doubt there'll be a left turn or two along the way, as we always say. But yeah, I'll leave it up to our guest to introduce himself and just give us a little bit pricey about what he does.
Indeed, indeed. Lee, did you want to say hello and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm basically Lee. As I normally say, the team will probably hate me for this, the Boo Brothers team, but I class myself as the lead investigator. Take the reins, that's what I normally say, but they always give me a stick for it. Basically, we're a team of four who explore the paranormal, try and find evidence. We've been doing it now nearly 14 years.
Wow.
So yeah, we travel all over the UK, work with different teams as well. That's basically us in a nutshell.
In a nutshell, indeed. So 14 years is a long time to be looking into something like this.
It's not far off. It's not far off, 14 years.
Yeah, it's impressive. It's impressive. I'd be interested to know what it was that got you started on your travels into this.
For me, it was actually my partner, Sarah, who got me into it. I was pretty much a skeptic. And then she took me along to ghost hunts, what people still call them now. Ghost hunts. And basically, I felt something that I couldn't explain. So, like, I got a pull on the back of my jumper. So ever since then, it was, why me? Why did you pull on me? Did you want my attention? And basically, it's gone from there, really.
Fair play. Fair play. It's interesting, isn't it? And so many people that we speak to, and we've spoken to quite a few people now, haven't we, when we talked about the paranormal, and they all have that one sort of similar story to tell in terms of that they were on the fence or just flat out non-believers until they have an experience happen to them that they can't quite explain. And then it sets off the old curious nerve and it sets you off down a path investigating. So how did you meet the other guys then? How did you start up Boo Brothers and what was the concept behind it?
Right, okay. So basically family. So my partner Sarah, she's co-founder of Boo Brothers. Then her mum, Lynn, and my uncle, who's Des. That's our team of four. Like I say, it's family. And to be fair, my uncle, I didn't even know my uncle believed in ghosts and, you know, spirits until obviously I started going on ghost hunts and we invited him along and he said, oh, yeah, I've liked this for years. So basically it was, we used to go to these places with companies and stuff like that. Then we just realized it was not for us being told what to do, how to do it, how long you get. So we set up Boo Brothers. And once a month we do investigations where people can come and join us.
Fair play. Fair play. So like you say, do you then allow those people that time to do a little bit of that investigating by themselves? Or obviously, if you're not a fan of being told what to do, I'm guessing you're probably quite liberal in your approach when you're investigating these things.
Yeah. For obviously, when we investigate, we do our own thing anyway. But when people come and join us on one of the investigations, we basically give them a rundown on where you can't go in certain buildings, what you can't touch. Then basically, as I say, is go on, off you pop, on your own, off you go. If you want to go for a break, have a brew, fag, whatever, do it in your own time. Just be curious. Things that are around you, yeah, and make sure that you're not actually involving or getting involved in other people's investigations who are there as well. Don't interrupt them.
So in terms of that then, do you go to a known place, a known building, whatever it may be, that you know for a fact is haunted or has paranormal activity? And then in terms of, you've just said there, you know, you let people sort of go and investigate on their own. What sort of type of recording equipment do you have? What sort of type of equipment do you have either set up in that place so that you can capture that? Or is it sort of noise? Is it video? Is it combination of all the above?
It's basically, I think we've got every bit of equipment you can think of.
Right.
So we've got full spectrum cameras. We've got pretty much everything, really. EVPs, normal cameras, night vision cameras, basically. But people bring their own equipment anyway.
Right. Oh, okay.
So, but if people want to use our equipment, they're more than welcome to use it.
And do you, is it sort of 50-50 in terms of you hosting events and then people getting in contact with you saying, can you come and investigate either this house or this person, or I've had an experience? Do you do that, or is it more just you host these events?
We've had a couple of cases actually where we've been asked to go and find out what's in somebody's house or things like that. And we've actually still on a case now. It's actually one of our mates, funnily enough. But when we host them, things like that, like I say, we keep our prices to minimum as possible. We're not about making money. We're not about profit, anything like that.
Yeah.
So it's just basically we split the cost between how many people want to do it and ourselves, right. And we'll split the cost between ourselves and keep the price to a minimum.
Okay. So is this something that you do sort of in your part time? Is it a full time sort of thing? Do you all have sort of regular jobs and this is just sort of something else?
Yeah, we all, well, three of us out of the team work full time. Right. So I work in the aerospace industry, and then free time we're pretty much in dark places looking for things what go bump in the night, shall we say.
That's interesting, that, isn't it? Like you say, so aerospace, that's a pretty serious academic career to have, you know what I mean? So you're obviously a sensible fellow.
Not wow. I won't go that far.
That's true. We did discuss football before we started. So what's your reaction to your colleagues then at work? What do they say when you tell them the stuff that you do on the weekend and that you're a Ghostbuster?
I don't kind of say I'm a Ghostbuster because I know they'll take the piss with my proton packs and all that, but no, you know, at first when people find out, you kind of get a few sly digs at you know, a bit of a, well, just take it on the chin, and you know, they might go and do things that I don't find interesting or things like that, so just take it on the chin. And but the thing is, when you tell them, it's always, oh, have you been this weekend? Did you catch anything? Did you hear anything? They're always asking the questions.
Yeah. So I was going to say, it's the skeptics that ask the question, isn't it? And they might not believe, but they're always interested. They're always, did you hear anything? Did you see anything? Did you capture anything? And I can guarantee if you'd have turned around and said, like, oh, yeah, we did. Oh, go and show us then. Oh, let us have a listen. Or, oh, show us on the... And you're like, oh, I didn't think you'd believe this. No, I don't. You know, and the skeptic are always the one that's the more curious. And I don't know whether that's, just because of maybe a fear of the unknown, or they don't want to believe, therefore they want to sort of poo-poo whatever it is. And we've had a couple of people on, on our podcast before now talking about, you know, if something moved or you saw something, you know, me and Adam would be like, oh, whoa, wow, what was that? And like one of the other guys said, Dave, it's just a fucking curtain moving, dude. Like, whereas me and Adam are like, no, it's definitely something. And I'm not saying it was a curtain. I'm not saying it wasn't, but like Dave would automatically default to the, nah, it's just a fucking curtain, mate. Whereas perhaps me and Adam would be like, oh, was that something? And oh, no, we definitely need to check that out type thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it. But it's like you said then, the skeptics, it's always them. It's, oh, can I see that video? You know, it's like, for instance, we're in partnership with the Haunted Museum in Stoke-on-Trent.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so we're in partnership with them. And recently we've opened it up a little bit, shall we say. I don't really want to give too much away because it's, by my standard, I'd say that is probably the only place I could say which is haunted. I'm about 99.9% sure that is haunted, whereas other places you go, 40-50% sure. But hand on heart, I would say that it's haunted. But anyway, going off there on my own, we opened this new part up. I think it was opened up for 2-3 weeks. We put a few haunted artifacts in there, and everything's under surveillance all the time. And I think on the second or third week, we caught a shadow moving across the wall.
Right.
So, like I say, going back to the skeptics, it was, oh, let me see it. Can I see it? And they're like, oh, that could be anything. I went, no, it's pitch black in there. It can't be any light whatsoever.
Oh, fair play. See, in terms of the Haunted Museum Stoke, so we're not a million miles away from Stoke.
Yep.
I have contacted them in the past and asked if we could do a podcast from there. They said, no, you can't, but you're more than welcome to visit anytime you like.
So, which is a shame, because a podcast from there would be amazing.
It would be, but they've obviously...
They've said no. They've listened to us.
They've seen our previous form. You heard about what happened that time we did that one live broadcast from Scotland and everything went pear-shaped.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, he left me on a train.
Yeah. That's one version of events.
That's what I'm speaking to.
Until your version changes.
Yeah, exactly. We had a lot of beer. There was a lot of beer consumed, that's all I can tell you. So, it's one of those places that we do need to get around to visit. Yeah. It's probably something that we'll have to do and discuss afterwards. But like you said there, ladies, bits that you perhaps don't want to give away for people who want to go and enjoy it themselves. So can you tell us a little bit more about that and how that partnership came to be, the sort of things that people can experience there?
So the Haunted Museum, it's got over 450 documented artifacts in there. So the 450 artifacts in there might have something with them, or they've been involved in something in the past.
Right, okay.
So basically, if you do an investigation, you can book them out for team investigations, or you can join public ones. And basically, it's just a normal investigation where you go around the museum and try and find out what's in there, because obviously we don't know all the names in there yet.
Right.
Well, Boo Brothers don't. Obviously, the owners, Craig and Gemma, know. So it is a very, very interesting place.
So in terms of, and you just mentioned there, in terms of the sort of the artifacts or the haunted artifacts as such, or the things that you put in there, is that something that you do and the Boo Brothers do in terms of trying to collect these artifacts and then place them within your homes or halls or whatever it is that you're hosting these events at? Or is it something that people will bring themselves? Or I'm curious in terms of, because you can have haunted places like buildings, and you can also have artifacts and things and possessions that are, you know, have spirits and are haunted and stuff. So I'm curious about how you come across these artifacts, and then B, how you use them in your different environments.
So the museum's pretty much set out in certain parts of it to different things, and the haunted artifacts, they come from cases that Craig's done and Gemma have done. Obviously, I can't go into too much detail on them.
Yeah, no worries.
Obviously, they might still be family members still alive or things like that.
Yeah,
So, yeah, different parts, you know, there's like an asylum part and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's not gimmicky, nothing like that, but everything in each part will have something attached in that room or to an item inside that room. But there is, what is it now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 rooms. 8 rooms inside this museum. And we, Boo Brothers, you'll probably hate me saying this, but Boo Brothers, we've only contributed one haunted item.
Right.
Okay. So that haunted item got given to us. It was found in a house redevelopment.
Okay.
So we had her here in the house for about a year. And the last few months, she started mimicking our children. So we basically said to Craig and Gemma, can we leave her under surveillance at the Haunted Museum?
Wow.
So she was copying a one-year-old's laugh and cry.
Oh, that'll do it for me.
So we had, I think it was a husband and wife, and they were called, I think, if memory serves me, the Occult Family, is that who it was?
Yeah.
And they'd been through the UK, and they'd been over to America, and they'd actually been relatively successful and sort of filmed the series and stuff. But they spoke very much about, from memory, if my memory does serve me right, on the podcast, about like collecting different artifacts and different artifacts having different
energies.
Yes, auras and energies and different artifacts would respond or act almost as though there was almost like a personification of these artifacts, and that they would react in a different way depending on who's in the room or depending on this and that and the aura surrounding them. And it was pretty fascinating, actually. And I think it was the Occult Family that spoke about that. And they had two daughters.
Yes.
I think
they've got two children. Yeah.
And I think that they, you know, they were very open about the fact that their children effectively interacted with these artifacts, and they didn't want to sort of hide it from them, and it is basically part of their just everyday existence as such. And but every now and then the artifact or whatever it was would react in a certain way, like, oh right, she's here or he's here or whatever it may be, and then they would try to, I can't remember the phrase they used, but basically like call out or speak to this,
communicate to them, and
and it was absolutely fascinating, and I am mildly curious. I've never really had, well, I don't think, a sort of haunted artifact in my possession as such, but I'd be really curious just to see, am I the wrong conduit for that person, or am I the one that and if it, and it goes back to what you said earlier, Lee, about, you know, why you? So if you felt something with the artifact or in the presence of that, why would it be you and not me? Why would it be you and not me? Why is that, whatever it may be, and that entity, that being, that soul, whatever it may be, why are they trying to contact you?
Yeah, that's it, you know. It's like people react to different things anyway. I think it's, for me personally, what I believe is it's how sensitive you are.
Yeah.
Your actual emotions get involved. You know, as my team keep telling me, I've got a stone heart. So, but no, when we had the doll here, she'd react to us differently. Wow. So with Sarah, if Sarah touched her, she used to get a headache.
Really?
Yeah, so we ended up putting her in like a Perspex case. So basically her energy couldn't get out. But we did a guest speaking thing at Haywood Horrorcon, and we had to put her into this case, and both of us got a headache just for that.
Wow, really?
I think it's all down to the person, how emotional they get, how sensitive they are to things. But like I say, it all depends on the person.
Just wanted to ask, just going back to what you mentioned earlier about it was that one moment where you got the tug on the back of your sort of jumper shirt sort of thing, and you couldn't place it. There was no reasonable explanation as to why that happened. There was no wind, you didn't catch it or anything, there was nothing there, yet you felt this tug sort of thing. Since that moment, what's been your most extreme experience as such? You know, have you been in an environment or a place or and you've had a reaction where you've and I'm going to use a really horrible, you've sort of shit yourself and thought, fuck, like, you know, what's been your most extreme sort of experience?
to be fair, doing it how long we have, you kind of, how can I say this? So, best way to explain it is paranormal investigators, they'll go somewhere, try and look for evidence, try and get these bangs, knocks, things thrown or whatever.
Yeah.
And when it happens, they all shit themselves and run out. I think we're used to waiting for that. Like if it does happen, it's like, oh, that's just happened.
Right. So,
but recently, I were kind of frozen. It was going back to this doll when I took her into the Haunted Museum. As soon as I walked through to the office, the loudest, most blood-curdling scream happened in the museum. And there were only me in that museum.
Wow.
And it was caught on four different cameras inside the museum. It was that loud. And Craig actually let us put that video clip on Facebook. So it was the loudest thing I've ever heard. And I think Craig and Gemma said the same. The years that they've had that museum, that's the loudest scream they've ever heard.
Wow. Jesus.
Yeah. And I actually froze and popped my head in through the curtain and just said, is somebody in here? I thought it was that loud. It was that loud. But that's probably the most recent one I've had. Yeah. And I'd say it was up there in my top three, definitely.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I think that would just about terrify me to my very soul. So when you have people come on the investigations with you, do they have similar, not necessarily as extreme or as visceral as that, but I'm asking, have you ever had to deal with someone who's properly shit their pants and really, not literally, but figuratively?
Well, no, literally as well. well, warts and all on this podcast.
I've not had to clean up after anyone. No, not yet. Yeah. No, we've had people who've been scratched by something that's not there, and it's like trying to calm them down.
Yeah.
The best way for how I think, people probably think different over paranormal teams, but for me, if you don't feel right or something's happened, you don't feel well, feel sick or whatever, just step out of that room, step away from that area, get away from the energy in there, go for a break, get your energy back up, and it tends to go. Tends to go.
So in terms of these things that you're experiencing, and so we call them spirits, but truthfully, it's the unknown, isn't it? So we don't truly understand what it is, how they contact, how it all works. But I know everybody generally has a belief in their own mind as to what it is. So for yourself, is it a spiritual thing? Are you looking at it from a scientific aspect, or do you, you know, is it the case of something that's beyond our comprehension?
For me personally, it's, I just want to know if there's life after death. That is it for me. All I want to know is if there's life after death. And for our team members, we've got me, who loves the tech, loves all the new equipment that comes out, things like that. We've got Sarah and Lynn. They kind of like doing the research on the buildings and things like that. I don't know if it's because I can't be asked.
that'd be like me. I'd be like, just get me in there and let me feel it. I can't be asked what it was 40 years ago.
You know, that's it. And then you've got poor Des, who I kind of use as bait. And I do feel sorry for him sometimes, I will say. Go in that room and I'll lock him in or something like that.
Get in there, you old goat. Go on, I'll film your reaction. Go on, off you go.
So, but yeah, I do feel tight afterwards, but at the time it has to be done. They might feel,
at the time you're like, this is great, this is amazing.
You know, but I think because the different energy of fear.
Yeah, yeah.
Fear there, they might feed off fear. If it's, so, like I say, we do all different techniques, you know. We'll separate into one, each corner of a massive building or anything like that. But yeah, for me, I just want to know if there's life after death or what it's like on the other side.
So I mean, you've obviously mentioned that you heard, you know, the blood-curdling scream and this, that and the other. So have there been, I'm making an assumption that there probably has been, so physical manifestations in terms of doors slamming, light bulb smashing, and all of that, and you've experienced that with absolutely no, you know, no feasible or
explanations, anything like that,
as to why that's happened.
Yeah, we do get it. You do get your door slamming, you know,
right,
banging on windows, and you know, yeah. You do get things like that. But for me, like I say, I try and debunk it.
Yes. Yeah.
Could it be that person who's just walked past with a bag on? Has it just caught on the door, or, you know, things like that? But if I can't debunk it, I won't go straight to saying it's paranormal. I will try and get other teams to look at the video clip.
Right. Okay.
Then it'll be classed as unexplained. For me, it's very hard to claim something paranormal.
Yeah. You have to go through a process first to sort of almost, you try to find every reasonable possible explanation why it wasn't or isn't. And then once you've gone through all of those, the only actual explanation left is that it is something otherworldly or whatever.
Yeah, that's the way I work. That is the way I work.
Yeah.
So that's how pretty much most of our team work as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of the time when we've had, you know, I think sometimes you get an idea. We've all seen Poltergeist. We've seen the people who will come and, you know, and investigate it. And you have an idea in your mind that these people are so desperate to find something that they'll almost read anything into it. But actually, what we found from speaking to people like yourself who do this is it's quite the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of you want to see something that can categorically not be disproved. And actually, where there's an element of doubt, you're still not willing to nail your colours to the flag. And I find that interesting, you know, and that says to me, you guys are coming at it from completely the right aspect, you know what I mean, in terms of, you know, of selling the story, as it were, but also you need the facts, you know, we need the evidence, though knowing that evidence might
That's
be.
It, but in the paranormal now, there's just so much fakery out there.
Gimmick. I was literally just about to say, there's so many gimmicks where you can imagine people going, oh, come and look at this, it's this, and you're like, really? Come on, guys. You know, that's sneaking and fake and all of that.
That's it, you know. And it's all about YouTube subscribers and, you know, TikTok followers. And that's why we don't do it. We don't do YouTube. We have a YouTube channel. There's nothing on it. We've got a TikTok profile. We'll advertise little bits, but it won't be a mostly a evidence or anything like that. If we do get evidence, we will put it on Facebook. But it won't be classed as paranormal. It'll be, look what we've caught. Can anyone explain this?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, let's get everyone involved in it.
And it's great. As Adam said, it's great that you almost come from the, we're desperately trying to debunk this. And if anybody is out there that can provide an explanation for this, then go ahead, because we're more than happy to go with that. But if people can't, there still has to be an explanation, but it might not necessarily be the explanation that the majority of people might want. Sort of thing. So, you know, it's great that almost you're coming from it from that point of view. And Adam's right. You know, the people we've had on talking about paranormal are very similar to you in that they literally will go to like the nth degree just to debunk something.
Yeah. Almost trying to prove what they've seen wrong.
Yeah. And they felt it. They've experienced it. They've seen it. They've felt it. They've heard it. And they're going, no, it can't be that. There must be another explanation for it. And then they go through all of those processes and then they get to a point where they go, well, actually, it can only be that.
Yeah. That's the best way. That is the best way you can look at it. Because otherwise you're going to be, there might be a water pipe in the wall that rattles. Yeah. And then it's, if you heard that, it's paranormal. Paranormal, that, and you're like, well, hold on, turn that tap back on. Oh, it's making the same noise. So it's got to be a water pipe or something related to that water pipe.
Yeah.
So why say it's paranormal?
But I can guarantee though there'll be people out there that'll go, oh, come to this place. Oh my God, you'll hear this and you'll hear this. And actually they'll claim it's paranormal, but it really isn't. It's just a loose tap or a loose whatever or a water pressure or a pump or something. But there'll be people out there exploiting other people's want to believe sort of nature, and they go, oh, come on, look at it. We've had this and we've had this. And you're like, oh, come on, really? Yeah.
That is bang on. That is the nail on the head there. And we've been to places where we've been told, oh, it's really haunted, really haunted. Right, okay, we'll go and try it out. So all four of us will go. We have nothing.
You
think, all right, spirits, you know, they're not performing monkeys. They're not going to be there every day. You know what I mean? So we'll book it again. So went back again. Nothing happened. And we were like, we can't be like the unluckiest people ever. I've heard people raving about it. So I think we ended up going four times to this place. Wow. And not once did we get anything from a tap, a bang, no equipment going off. And I just thought, we're either the unluckiest people in the world,
or they're mugging you off.
There's nothing here.
Yeah.
So we do get places like that. You get the places where it is really good.
Yeah. Yeah, and me and Adam, you know, we've spoken on a podcast before about going. There's a place in Macclesfield that's meant to be like a really haunted place. And when we first started the podcast, we were like, oh, we'll do loads of broadcasts from elsewhere. And then, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, pandemic and post-pandemic, we couldn't go and do the places that we wanted to go, because we'd love to go and do outside broadcasts and take more radio on the road and do various things. And we had all these grand ideas about doing X, Y, and Z. And it hasn't happened yet, but we've got loads of places. And one of the places of this place in Macclesfield, and myself and Adam spoke, and Andy, who was the guy on the podcast with us at the time, and he's like, yeah, I can do that. But, you know, we might go there and we might not see anything, feel anything, hear anything. And me and Adam are very much, well, cool, we'll still have a piss up, it'll be fine. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's fine, we'll just go from that out. But if we do, then we do. You know? And I think that's the attitude that, certainly myself and Adam are there. It's like, you know, we're not desperate to experience. But if we do, then we do, and that's okay. But we're not going to go out and absolutely crave and then look into something. And as I say, if it is a curtain moving, then it's just a curtain moving, and we're not going to read into something that isn't. Yeah. And if we don't feel anything, we don't feel anything. It's one of those.
Mm.
Yeah, well, it's like us, like I'll always say, you know, we get to go to areas that the public can't go.
Right, yeah.
So we can go in, say, for instance, there's an old jail inside a castle or something. You know, public don't get to go down there on their tours, yet we get access to all areas. So you think, like, it's a 500-year-old building or whatever, might be older. And you think, just look at it, how good it is, you know. And if we get anything, it's a bonus. You know, that's how I look at it. These buildings that we go to and, like, the architecture and all that, you think. Yeah. Then if you get something evidence-wise, it's a bonus.
So be it. Yeah, actually, you've had a good day, night, overnight, whatever it may be, and I say if it doesn't happen, then so be it. But I suppose if you see, I'd be a little bit. What's the place in Macclesfield? The Bates Hall. Yeah. So if we went there, I'd be like, okay, we'll go there first time. Okay, didn't say anything. Okay, it's meant to be like one of the most haunted places. This, that, and the other. Okay, well, we'll go back second time. Okay, we must be pretty unlucky. And going back to what you said, Lee, God Christ, we must be the most unlucky fuckers around here. So, you know, and then about the third time you go, you'd be like, really? They've said literally every time you come, you see something, we've now been three times and we've never seen it, sort of thing. So we'd be a bit hacked off if that was the case. But we're not desperate to, I suppose, we're not like the sort of the Mulder in the X-Files, and we're desperate to see something that isn't. Yeah, you know, we're not that. But similarly, I think we're pretty open-minded in terms of actually if there is something, then we're not necessarily really quick just to dismiss it, which Dave would be. Yeah. You know, if Dave was on the podcast, he literally would be.
Yeah.
Nah, there has to be a reasonable explanation. It's an atmospheric change. It's this, it's that, it's weather, it's temperature, it's whatever it may be. And he would really go out of his way to debunk it, sort of thing.
Yeah. But that's the thing, though, with spirits. So they can actually change the atmosphere.
Absolutely, yeah.
So when he goes on about that, just say, yeah, well, it could be.
It could be that, yeah. I so need to say that.
Because we get equipment, we've got equipment that will read the atmosphere. So right. It'll tell you if it's changed, a drop in temperature or a rise in temperature, you know. So, you know, I think Sarah hates it when I start looking at equipment because I just buy everything I can see.
what was the thing that we had a lad on here, and he sort of guested on our podcast sort of a few times, and he's a bit of a believer, Ken, I'm on about now.
Yeah.
And he has this, did he say it's like a listening device, and almost it's like I'm gonna show my ignorance now. It's like almost it registers like not static noise, but it's stuff behind the static noise, and he puts it on this frequency and it can basically
spirit box.
Is that what it's called? Is it a spirit box? Is that what he said it was called? Yeah,
that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, is it EVPs or whatever, electronic voices and what have you. Yeah, spirit box, I'm sure it was.
I'm sure it's that, yeah.
And he's done something before, isn't he, where he's, because he was having some strange experiences as he slept, and he had it recording, didn't he? So it was literally
picking through the night. Yeah. Yeah,
picking up everything that, while he was asleep. I'm not sure I'd want to know, to be honest.
No, but literally he said there were things through the night, and you're like, oh, okay, fair enough. Yeah, as you said, I'm not sure. I fancy that. But
some things you better not know, and I do believe that.
Well, particularly when you're asleep. I don't know when I'm asleep. I don't really need to know. So
yeah, that's it. So yeah, I'd be interested to hear about some of the places that you have visited there. Any places you can tell us about, any experiences that you've had there?
So Newsham Park Hospital in Liverpool.
Right.
Heard of that one. It was an orphanage as well.
Yeah.
We've had some good investigations there. We've had a woman get scratched in there twice. Wow. By sitting in an electric chair that they used to use. Or it was basically, I think it was just the electric therapy that they used to give people. So we found that in one of the rooms, and this woman sat in it, and she ended up getting scratched.
And when you say scratched, was it literally like she got scratched and then there was effectively
there was no blood drawn.
Right, but you could see the scratch lines on her arm or whatever. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. It was on, yeah, it was on the back.
Oh, okay.
So, but obviously straight away I look at the chair. Is there anything sharp on the chair? And
yeah, has she moved around? Has she wriggled or whatever? Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So, you know, so Newsham Park's good. Oh, there's loads. St. George's Hall, another one in Liverpool.
Right.
We went to Craigynos in Wales. Went to Craigynos in Wales. That was interesting. That's classed as a castle, but it's actually a mansion.
Right.
So slept over there. There's just loads.
So
loads
many.
There's just loads.
So that's one thing that I've seen you guys do then as well. So as well as doing investigations, you do your sleepovers and what have you in places like that. I'm a big guy, but I do scare easy. I do believe that. So I think I would. I'm not. I don't know, dude. It must take some bollocks to stay over in some places like that. Because in a deep dark night, your imagination can play tricks if you can't it. You know what I mean? And the slightest little bit of noise, it could put the willies up you if you bomb a choice.
You know, I think we're all, you know, and you go back to the film and TV and all of that. And for like, look, growing up for me, your typical sort of slasher movie was a bit like, yeah, okay, it's entertaining, it's pretty cool, but it's a bit unrealistic. Whereas your psychological paranormal sort of films, you'd be like, actually, that could be more of a reality for me, and they would be the ones that would shit me up more, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
you know, don't get me wrong, you know, Friday the 13th, where, okay, you might have a maniac going around with a mask on and slashing up people and stuff, but you know, your nightmare on Elm Street, nah, really? There's a physical manifestation of somebody in somebody's dreams that's going to slash people up. Nah, not having that. It was entertaining, it's decent, but then you think, Poltergeist, actually, that could happen. You know, people have had experiences where poltergeists have either physically or whatever. And what was the other one? Oh, God.
Paranormal Activity,
that's one. And all of these type of films where you think, oh, my God, this family have been, you know, they've been invaded by either poltergeists or specters or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
I think actually that could happen. And, you know, nobody's going to infect my dreams and then come and kill me in my dream and slash my, like, Freddy or whatever. You know, that's just a horror film. Whereas the unknown for me is way more scary. And I actually found Poltergeist way more scary than your typical slasher films, just because of that the TV and the thing and the little girl, and you're like, oh my God, like, shit, that, like, you might get that.
I mean, psychologically, it is a bit more scary, but just, I don't know if you know this, Nightmare on Elm Street is actually based on a true story.
Yeah, whatever.
It is. I mean, it's very, very loosely based. It was based on a guy who moved to the States.
I think it is, yeah.
It is, yeah. It's a guy who moved to the States from Malaysia.
I think it's...
He experienced some horrible, horrible things in his life and was having terrible, terrible nightmares, and he passed away in his sleep whilst experiencing the nightmares.
I've got no doubt that's the case, but the manifestation of somebody then slashing him in his, and all of that, I have no doubt that people will have passed away having horrible, horrible dreams. I've got no doubt about that whatsoever.
Robert England was there.
Yeah.
Robert England was hiding in the like this, peeking behind the like.
Yeah, no, we got famously distracted again.
There's your left turn.
One thing that tends to divide opinion when we get people on who investigate these kind of things, Ouija boards, is that something that you use?
Yeah.
So you there have
your straight answer. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a straight. It was straight answer we've had.
No, but yeah, absolutely. No, like, an absolute. Because loads of people go, well, I'm not sure. Like, you're like, straight up, yeah, we use them. And I've got no issue with that. And if you use them, and you use them, and absolutely. So how would you use them, and how often do you use them, and what are your experiences of using them?
Use them quite a lot, to be fair with you. It's a load of shite, what you see in these Hollywood movies, I'll be honest with you. Yeah. You know, you won't get thrown across the bloody floor or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, people will probably call me out for this, but yeah, demons won't come out the board. It's a load of shite.
Yeah.
It is. It is. I'll tell the truth. It is. You know?
So what are the benefits of the Ouija board? And so if you say that, you know, you're not going to get spirits that come out of the glass or come out of the board or come out of the pointer or whatever it may be. So what's the conduit for, if you're using a Ouija board to contact another realm, another world and whatever it may be, where's the conduit? That is it the pointer? Is it you as a person? Do you feel
possessed? You feed the energy into the board.
Right, okay.
So your energy from your fingertips on that planchette, which is then touching the board, that should give the energy to the spirit.
Okay. Trying
to communicate with you. That's how it should work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but invariably, you're prepubescent, sort of 13, 14 year olds who are around a table and they're like, oh, stop pushing it. No, I'm not pushing it. And all of that. And it, no, it's, I can see you pushing it.
You still get that. You will still get that. I'll be honest.
Really?
You will.
People just trying to manipulate it. And yeah.
Well, that's the thing, is that these videos that you see online are these people who want views, try and make a name for themselves by doing stuff like that, you know, because at the minute you'll always see demons, you know, it's a demon coming for us. It's yeah, you're full of shit. There you go.
Yeah, it's unfortunate as well now with the technology that you have on your laptop at home, the technology you have on your mobile phone. It's very, very easy to actually make something look quite authentic when unfortunately
yeah. It is.
And like you say, there's a number of people that will do it for attention. I can tell you a Ouija board story yourself that we did when we were young, and there was four of us doing it, and we were around a friend's house, his parents away, we'd all had a bit to drink, and you know, we started moving, the glass starts moving, and we're thinking, you know, that's fine. It spelled out a few words. Didn't mean anything to anybody, I have to say. None of it was really sort of hitting home with anybody. And then at that point, this guy's dog went absolutely apeshit. It's outside at the back. It's going absolutely apeshit the window way up. And it is, I mean, this dog, his heckles are up. He's utterly terrified. And we're like, dude, I thought you said you were going to put your dog in the kitchen. He goes, no, I did. I promise you, I put my dog in the kitchen. And he went through to the kitchen to check it. At that point, the kitchen door to the outside slammed shut in front of him. And this dude came back in the house. And I'm telling you, he was white. He was terrified. This dog is going apeshit outside. So my brother says, look, that's it. We've got to break the glass. So my brother's a big guy and he's got a strong arm. So he takes his glass, he goes into the garage and he threw it on the floor as hard as he could. And the glass bounced. I have never
seen
like in my life, this gas bounced and went straight back up, drop, and then smashed. And we're like, I think we're gonna go home, Jeff. it was terrifying.
It all depends what you get and who you're with as well.
Yeah.
You know, if there's loads of you and you get the right energy, you'll have a great night.
Yeah,
you'll have a great night. Whereas if you get someone who's a bit grumpy, miserable, you do notice it affects the energy actually in the room or the building that you're in.
Right.
Yeah, we had it. Was it Emily Waterston? I think her name is. I'm terrible with names, but I believe that's.
Oh, Emily.
Yeah, so we've had her on the podcast before, and she's talked about that. And she said they do stuff to lift the spirits sometimes. Not literally, you know what I mean? Bad choice of words. But to get everybody's, like, energy going before they do.
Yeah.
You know, get everybody laughing, right frame of mind before they do something like a spirit board or a Ouija board, just so that they get the right reaction out of people.
Yeah. And I suppose, I don't know, but, you know, if there's a couple of guys... You know, you're doing a Ouija board, and there's a couple of guys that are a bit like, sort of thing. Does that mean that the Ouija board or the spirits then are not receptive or more receptive? Or if everybody's like, right, we definitely want to believe or we're ready to go, or does that make a difference? And I don't know, because to me, part of me being a slight skeptic, I suppose I'm still a slight skeptic at heart, but from what I've I believe I've seen and witnessed and stuff, I'm not. I suppose loads of people go to like, I'll do Ouija board tonight. Okay, we might see something, but are they genuinely hoping that they see something, or is it just a play along and kid along and oh, I really hope we do, but actually deep down, nah, I really
shit in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because they're shitting it because it might. Yeah.
You do. You get people like that anyway. You know, when we did like public events where anyone could come, you know, you get the big lad. Oh, I'm not scared. You know, it's a load of shit. This. Then something will happen. He's the first one stood behind one of us going, what was that? What was that? You know, but the energy of the people is a massive part.
Right.
You know, like you've been told, you know, if people are raring to go, they want to get involved, you know, a bit of adrenaline there. It does help. Whereas if, like, say, you get someone hungover type, and they're like, I don't really want to be here.
Well,
leave then. You know where the door is.
Do one then. Yeah, do one, dickhead. Yeah, door's there. You know what I mean?
You do get people like that, though.
Yeah. I'm really curious, just, and people talk about malevolence and malevolent and all of this, and have, you know, has there been an occasion where, in, not you, you were hoping to encounter something, but something's happened where you felt as though actually it took a bit of a dark turn and actually you were a bit like, actually, in a way, we need to shut this down, or this isn't going the way that we wanted to, or?
We do get them. We do get dark things happen.
Yeah.
But if you know what you're doing, you're fine.
Right.
You know, don't, you know, you get people who start trying to provoke,
right?
You know, antagonize. And, you know, it's just got to see it as like us three talking. I'm not going to start provoking you guys. You know, why would you do it to someone who were living? What we say is just respect. You know, talk to people how you'd like to be spoken to. You know, I know they're not here anymore, but they can still understand you if they're answering you. And so why wind people up or wind the spirits up? There's just no need. No, but sometimes I'll hold my hands up. I've done it. You know, try and get a reaction to see if I can get them to lift something up, throw something. You know, but most of the time the energy just disappears when you start doing it.
Right.
I've noticed.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Like you say, they're not there to perform parlor tricks, are they?
Yeah. Suppose.
No. You know, so, this is why you won't always get everything that you want. You know?
No.
Sometimes it might be really active. Sometimes it'll be quiet.
Yeah, that's it. I guess that's it. We all have days when we're a little bit quieter ourselves, don't we? And a little less active. Certainly, I know as I knock on years, I'll get more and more of those days.
Absolutely, yeah. As the years roll on.
Yeah. So in terms of it's a difficult one, this. So I'm not 100% sure you'll be able to answer. So you're looking for categorical proof of life after death, life on the other side, that there is something beyond this sort of mortal existence that we have. What for you would prove it? What do you need to see that could categorically say to you there is something beyond this mortal realm?
I'd want at least three things happen at the same time. So I'd want to see full apparition, and I'd want that full apparition's voice to come through one of the bits of equipment whilst it's still there. I'm not asking for a lot. And and also I'd want a bit of equipment to prove that that apparition is something that I'm seeing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, to be fair,
that's not a lot, really.
It is quite a big ask. It's quite a big ask, that. But I think you're right to need to see something like that. You know, I hope you or somebody else does discover it, because there's a little bit of me that would like to think that there is life beyond this mortal realm that we currently exist in. And I don't know. I don't fully understand what a spirit is, you know, whether there's There's an electromagnetic nature to it, and there is a scientific explanation that can categorically prove what one is, or it is entirely spiritual. It is something that's visiting us from another realm, or just that the two realms are intertwined some way that we don't thoroughly understand.
I think that's it. I think you hit the nail on the head. We just don't know, do we? And it might take another 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 100 years. We don't know the relationship between our world and the other world, or the life after death, or whatever it may be. We just don't understand it enough to be able to say either it does or it doesn't. Because there'd be thousands and millions of people that believe that there is a link, and there'll be millions and millions of people that don't believe there's a link. So I think until, you know, there's proof and categoric proof either one way or the other, we just don't know. So therefore you'll get people that will believe and you'll get people that don't. And this is really cool when you go back to the X-Files and you look at David Duchovny, you look at Mulder, who wants to believe, and then you look at Gillian Anderson and Scully, who says, no, absolutely not. I will do everything in my power to debunk every single thing that's happened, and I will try from a scientific point of view to prove that you're wrong, sort of thing. And obviously eventually she sort of did believe.
Yeah.
And is that where we're at? And we're trying desperately to prove it doesn't exist and it's not real, but actually maybe it does.
That's it. Cause I think over the years they create layers in between the worlds, you know? So you might have a spirit come through who died in, say, the 1400s.
Yeah.
So it might be a child who can't understand our language now, because obviously the amount of slang we use. And so we also take that into consideration as well, the way we speak when we're calling out. So you might, for a Ouija board, for instance, you might be talking to a 2-year-old child, can't spell.
Yeah.
So it might just be random letters coming through.
Yeah.
So try a different way to find out. So there is, we're trying different ways to find out if there's different layers in these worlds. And
yeah.
But you're not gonna do it overnight. It's not gonna happen. You know, there's thousands of paranormal teams out there, you know, and hopefully one day everyone will get to work together. Because I don't know if you guys know, but the paranormal field is quite a toxic place.
Yeah.
You know, there's people who want to be famous, you know, people who just want views, subscribers, people who want to find the actual evidence. And hopefully that is our team. You know,
but also, viewers. Ultimately, all your paranormal investigators, well, I hope, are sort of out for this. Look, this is me being really naive, and I'm not really this naive, but all the paranormal investigators sort of out for the same thing, aren't they? So, if one group of paranormal investigators finds something, then surely they should be celebrating. Go, woo! Like, oh my god! Like that's like the Holy Grail. That's what we've been looking for. That. But I can guarantee if that happened, you'd get loads of people going, nah, fuck that. Like,
it's fake. And it's fake.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
it is. That's exactly how the paranormal field is.
Yeah. So, which to me is like almost diametrically opposed. It's like they found the thing that we're looking for, but bollocks to that, because we need to find it. And if anybody else finds it, then it's fake. But if we find it, then that's okay. And you're like, that sort of is a bit weird to me.
Yeah. That's how it seems to me. So, like I say, the only time we post anything on Facebook, it'll be evidence that we've caught, which we can't debunk.
Can anybody else debunk?
Stumped. Yeah, or we're stumped.
Yeah.
You know, or it'll just be a video of, if you've seen this, what do you guys see? Or if you've seen this, can you guys explain this?
Yeah.
So it's not, all our videos are not like, you've seen this, it's paranormal. It's nothing like that.
Right.
So, but hopefully, like we say, one day we will get that end goal.
Indeed. I'll be curious to the lead then. Like I say, we normally wrap these things up round about the hour mark. But two things I'd like to ask you. One, is there anywhere you'd really, really like to visit and haven't done yet? And second of all, we do get all sorts of different people listen to our podcast because we do do something every single week. So just leave us with one little bit of advice for anybody who's out there who's interested in the paranormal and investigating it and how they would get started.
And if people want to get started, you don't need any experience, I'll be honest with you. You'll hear the phrase, if these people are experts. Yeah, no one in the paranormal field is an expert. No one in the paranormal field is a professional. It's just down to your knowledge, basically, and experience. You know, you're not an expert. Yeah. If you ever want to get started, just there's thousands of teams out there who run events or do investigations. Like I say, hit them up. Hit us up if we've got any spaces on any coming up. More than welcome to join us. Like I say, you don't need to be into it. We get skeptics.
Yeah.
So, but if you are going to do it, just go with an open mind.
Yeah.
That's all I could say. Go with an open mind.
That's good advice. And where can people find you then on social media?
So you can find us at Boo Brothers. So Boo Brothers, we're on Facebook, and we do have a website, guys, which is boobrothers.co.uk. And we will have events coming up or investigations coming up. And also we are running a charity investigation that we are doing. We're raising money for dementia and Alzheimer's.
Right.
Where we will be doing a live stream from inside the Haunted Museum in Stoke. And you can watch that live on Facebook. It's only £5 donation. And you Brilliant. Get to watch the live stream. That's in September. And we are raffling prizes off as well in there. From famous people, celebrities in the paranormal field, like your Patty Negri, your Liz Carmel, your Neil Stories historian, Penny Morgan. You know, we've even got festival tickets to the Festival of the Unexplained up for grabs as well, guys.
Brilliant.
So there's loads, but it's all on our Facebook page, all that information. If anyone ever wants to know anything, ask any questions, we will help. Just give us a message.
Fair play. Yeah, so if you are interested, as they do, head there to their website, boobrothers.co.uk. We'll stick a link in the audio version of this podcast, so you can click on it, it'll take you straight there. And also you can find them on Facebook, and we'll stick those links on our website as well. We always do a micro blog about the episode, and I'll put those links on there, so hopefully people can find you from there. So Lee, thank you very much for joining us. It's been interesting. We always are fascinated by people who look into the unexplained. We're interested by the unexplained ourselves, and we have spent some time investigating it, not as much as perhaps we'd like to. But, you know, it's something we'd like to do more of in the future. So maybe, just maybe, you might get a couple of idiots joining you on one of your future
Let me know who they are. Let me know who they are and I'll ban them.
Well, I'll let you know.
It will. It will. It'll be the two of us who will come up and create some minor chaos while we're there. No, we definitely, it's something that we need to do. You know, it's something that we need to do. We've got some audio equipment ourselves that maybe we could bring along and try and record something going bump in the night. And hopefully it won't be one of us this time.
But, you know, I just want to say a big thank you to Lee and you know, for joining us on the podcast. It is something that both myself and Adam, myself and Adam have known each other for donkey's years, probably too many years that we care to remember. But, you know, we've known each other, you know, we're both the wrong side of 50 now, and it's crikey sort of 30, 35 odd years since we've known each other, sort of thing. So, and we've always had a bit of a sort of fascination with the paranormal, and it's something that, and we've done loads of episodes on the podcast, and it's something that we can't escape from, but every now and then we just have somebody else that will come on, and somebody else that'll come on, and somebody else that'll come on, and it seems to be like a recurring theme in our sort of our podcasts, is that, you know, we have paranormal investigators on, and it's amazing, Lee, that you've come on and you've given us your perspective on what you do and your take on it, and And that's, you know, I thank you for your sort of for your content and joining us.
Thanks
and
for having
just,
me.
Yeah, we wish you all the best in the Boo Brothers and what it is that you're doing. And I can't wait really till the next time that you come on and you can talk about that experience that you've had and actually talk about the events that you've hosted, etc. So again, big thank you from me and look forward to the next time that we speak to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It's been a pleasure.
No, absolute pleasure. Like Gaz says, anytime you want to come back on, then you are more than welcome. As for us, that's us for this week. We will be back again next week with something entirely different again. So thank you for listening.